to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here with you. A riveting first hour, I think, a hard-hitting first hour, to be sure, tonight with Keith Alexander, my great co-host, who is gone for the evening. He'll be back next week, as always. Welcome back, though, to the second hour, the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, August the 28th, as I broadcast to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, simulcasting on our worldwide internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and of course, broadcasting as well to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. During that first hour, Keith and I examined in detail Chuck Baldwin's most recent comments, most recent column, I should say, The Dates That Destroyed America. Then we went into, we used that as a segue into a broader topic, which dealt with cafeteria Christians, cafeteria conservatives, the Tea Party, Glenn Beck, and the recent accusations of how everybody in the Tea Party is a Klansman. And that's where I want to pick up now here in our second hour. Again, thanks for sticking with us, everybody. Great to be with you. No matter how embarrassingly they grovel, you know, white conservatives are never going to curry favor with the left. They're just never going to be able to do it. And in fact, the more they grovel, the more weak they appear, and the more blood in the water it is for these sharks who are going to come after them with even more of a fervor. So we were talking there, you know, Glenn Beck's having this rally today, the 828 rally, restoring honor, restoring the dream, whatever. And, you know, there undoubtedly he's going to be doing everything he can to suck up to, you know, known communist and plagiarist Michael King. And in doing so, it's just going to, you know, he's still going to be called a Klansman. So why do it? I mean, nobody that you're pandering to is ever going to tune into your show anyway. They're never going to stop calling you a Klansman. So, I mean, why make a complete and utter joke of yourself? Why try to run away? Why try to make your base run away? You know, the people that you're pandering to are never going to support you. But it will make white conservatives, the only people who would ever tune into you, sour. Winston, are you with me?
I am with you, you weasel.
Winston Smith, everyone, political cesspool co-host. Did you catch that first hour, Winston?
No, I was out in my shop doing a couple of things. Oddly enough, I was winding some coils for some shortwave radios I'm building.
Well, Winston missed the first hour, but you won't have any problem, I'm sure, picking up where we are now. You know, Glenn Beck's in Washington.
I was out there enjoying myself, and I emailed, I texted, hey, you need a night? He said, yeah, how about third hour? I said, okay. So I just continued on with winding my little coils there, and suddenly he texts me back and says, hey, need you for second and third hour. Call me up now.
Right. Winston is actually not in studio tonight. He's calling in from home. Really wasn't scheduled to come in tonight, but as he just mentioned, I texted him about, 15 minutes ago. Hey, how about calling in second and third hour? And so here he is. I mean, that's just the magic of modern-day technology. And coming in without missing a beat, Winston, what I'm talking about now is Glenn Beck. I'm sure you know he's in Washington this week, making a complete fool of himself with the 828 rally, restoring honor, restoring the dream, whatever it is. He went on television last week and he pointed out that, you know, this is the 47th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, which was our nightmare. And he pointed out that, you know, Dr. King stood on this step exactly 47 years to the day where I will be standing on this step. And he said, quite appropriately, I am five steps below where Dr. King stood, you know. So anyway, and the point is, the more they grovel, the more foolish they look, and the more attacks they sustain. Lots of so-called prominent blacks are denouncing Beck's rally and his attempts to tie his agenda to Michael King. And here's another story, and I could report 20 more. But it reads that black leaders are furious over Glenn Beck's MLK rally. And listen to this. And of course, as you know, Winston, every black, as I mentioned with Keith, is either a civil rights leader or a reverend. But it says black civil rights leaders are furious that they will not be able to organize a march to commemorate the 47th anniversary of the historic March on Washington and Dr. Martin Luther King's famed I Have a Nightmare speech at the location where it happened this year because infamous right-wing Fox News personality Glenn Beck already booked the Lincoln Memorial on August 28th to hold his own rally. Now, if Glenn Beck is a right-winger, then I am Attila the Hun, let me tell you that. But it says here, we're going to get together because we're not going to let Glenn Beck own the symbolism of August 28th. National Urban League president and CEO Mark Morial said during a National Newspaper Publisher Association's breakfast, he said, someone said to me, maybe we shouldn't challenge him. Maybe we should just let him have it. I was like, brother, where have you been? Where is your courage? Where is your sense of outrage? We need to collaborate and bring together all the people of goodwill on August 28th and send a message that Glenn Beck's vision of America is not our vision of America. And again, Winston, the point of this is the more and more egregiously Glenn Beck and people of his ilk, these cafeteria conservatives, the more they grovel to try to win favor in the eyes of black liberals, the more foolish they make them and the more tax they endure. And as someone commented on our blog, I'll say this and then turn it over to you. As part of its live coverage of the Beck rally today, C-SPAN interviewed Ralph Reed, who groveled, fawned, and gushed nonsense about Dr. King and the evils of white Southerners. And do you know what? All of the black callers were as nasty, rude, and abusive as they could be. The more you grovel and apologize to these people, the meaner and abusive they are. They live off white guilt and groveling. And when whites finally wake up, their easy living is over. How can white people be so stupid not to see this? Winston, that's the story, and I turn it over to you for further commentary.
There is so much we could say about this, James, and you're absolutely right. The more these people grovel, and the more they try to curry favor with people who hate them, the dumber they look, because we all know they are not going to get any favor from these people. Those people are never going to like white people. They despise white people, and they fear white people awakening to the reality of the scam and the sham that they have been pulling for the past 60 years or so. When white people do start waking up to this scam that they've been pulling, their salad days are over, and so their only hope is to keep the anger alive. You know, they're not keeping the dream alive; they're keeping the anger alive. And you know, most of the black people who are angry, they don't even know what they're angry about, because most of them have never lived under Jim Crow. None of them have ever experienced slavery. All they know is that they're supposed to be angry at white people for no really good reason.
And let me tell you something, James, Winston.
Go ahead.
What I'm going to say is, you know, Pat Buchanan said it best when referring to all of this black outrage and, you know, pent-up hate that they have. He said, "We've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude?" You know, because of our people, because of white people, blacks have been introduced to a standard of living here in America that they don't experience anywhere else in the world. They've been introduced to Christian salvation and all of the benefits that come from living in a first world nation. And, I read a quote, since you weren't tuned in the first hour, I read from the Bible. I'm sure that's a racist act now, but I read from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, what the Bible says about slavery. It hardly condemns it as a sin. In fact, the exact opposite is true. It just says slaves should obey their masters. Masters should treat their slaves with love. Now, that's the Bible. So, you know, everything that Glenn Beck's doing and the Tea Party's doing, you know, the Tea Party, by the way, you know, this is a big Tea Party rally Glenn Beck's having. Yeah, a new article out today, Reverend Walter Fauntroy said the Tea Party is the modern-day incarnation of the Ku Klux Klan. And the more that these people grovel, the more attacks like this manifest themselves. But the thing is, you know, this all goes back to slavery. You know, despite all that they've been given. Now, I mean, how has King's dream not been realized? Blacks not only enjoy equal opportunity, they enjoy preferential treatment now. How can they say they are still oppressed or living in a racist society? This society has given is giving them more now than the founding stock that built it. And we're going to talk more about this after the break. But, you know, it all goes back to slavery. And if they had to suffer that, and I'm not endorsing slavery, I've read what the Bible said about it. But if they had to go through that in order to get to where they are now, compared to where their brothers in Africa, their standard of living today, I think that was a hell of a good deal for them. Hell of a good deal. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Right before that last break, by the way, James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you on the award-winning Political Cesspool Radio program. Before that last break, I was saying that all of this hatred that blacks have for whites in this country today obviously stems from the Jim Crow era and slavery before that. And I in no way endorse slavery. I think it was a bad practice. It should have never been done. You know, it was the equivalent to corporations hiring these illegal aliens today for cheap labor. It was just cheap labor is what it was. And, I think it would have been better for us if it had never occurred. But what I was saying was, I don't think that there's anybody here in America, any black here in America, that would trade places with his, soul brother over in Africa if he had the opportunity. But yet still, all of this hatred and animosity is directed towards us for all of that. And, you know, I was watching today, Winston, flipping through channels, and I just happened to stop on MTV where they were doing the show Cribs. And it showed Little Bow Wow's crib. Have you ever heard of Little Bow Wow?
I don't even know what Cribs is on MTV. We don't have a television, man.
All right.
You should follow my example.
All right, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. And if anyone else doesn't know, Cribs is a show on MTV where a crew goes in and it shows you the house that famous people live at. And the house they were at today was Little Bow Wow. And he's, as you might have guessed from the name, black. And he's a rapper. And he's in movies. And he lives in a house the likes of which you and I will never see. The whole staff of the cesspool, if we accumulated all of our wealth and resources, we couldn't, buy his garage. But, and that's okay because it's probably going to be foreclosed on in a couple of years anyway. But the point is, this is the, he is the victim of a racist society. That's the point. But it's not just them. They're not the problem. They're always going to have that mindset. They're not the people we're trying to convert. The people we're trying to bring into our movement are the suckers that are there listening to Glenn Beck. And what is Glenn Beck doing this weekend? Praising Martin Luther King, praising Dr. King, how Dr. King was a Republican. Dr. King was a conservative. And by the way, Glenn Beck wants the hundreds of thousands of Tea Party people to be in Washington today for this big rally at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial, so they can worship King. And once they're there, he wants them to shut up and listen and to make no attempt to express themselves. He has banned signs, Winston, at his big rally that's being held today, right now, as a matter of fact. On the website, it says no signs, political or otherwise, may be brought to the rally because it may deter from the peaceful message we bring. In other words, what that says, Winston, then I'll turn it over to you. Look, you bunch of hayseeds and racists, I can't afford to risk having you embarrass me by showing up with a bunch of homemade signs. So keep your racist signs at home. Let's keep this rally focused on me and on my lunatic ideas about the founding fathers being black and the civil rights movement being led by conservative Christians. And that's really, at the end of the day, what's going on up there in Washington. And how many hundreds of thousands of white people are there supporting that trash when they could be supporting organizations like ours or the Council of Conservative Citizens or European Americans United or the few organizations and individuals out there who are actually trying to save what's left of the conservative movement? Winston?
Oh, you're absolutely right, James. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how foolish these people look. groveling at the feet of the people who hate them and will never like them and who will never give them any consideration whatsoever. But James, they look foolish for another reason, and it's this: they are associating themselves with Michael King, A.K.A. Martin Luther King Jr. And we know what kind of a creature he was. He was a serial adulterer. He was a plagiarist. He was a thief. He said, "Well, he never stole anything." Folks, plagiarism is theft, plain and simple. It is stealing someone else's words and representing them as your own. And you know, even the "I Have a Dream" speech, he plagiarized that from another man. So he was a liar. He was a sham, and he was a Marxist. And these are the kinds of people that these so-called conservatives are trying to associate themselves with, thinking that there's some kind of virtue in it. It was that man who put them in the position they are in now. And the position they are in now is having to beg for the crumbs that fall from the tables of people who hate them. Martin Luther King Jr., Michael King, made that happen, and they are adoring this man. They might as well be worshiping John Brown, for crying out loud. John Brown, you know, he's almost as deified as the traitor Abraham Lincoln, and John Brown was a domestic terrorist. He was a mass murderer. He was a traitor. He was anything but noble. And these are the people that Glenn Beck is trying to drag white people into association with, thinking that if he can just forge that association, then somehow all these Africans in America will become Republicans. And he is just sadly mistaken. It ain't going to happen. He's wasting their time, and he's making all those Tea Partiers look like idiots.
Well, they're making themselves look like idiots for going to his rally to begin with. Can they not see these very simple truths? And by the way, Winston brought up some facts I want to emphasize about Michael King, which was Martin Luther King's real name. You know, Keith Alexander brought him up in the first hour also. Adulterer, plagiarist, womanizer, so on and so forth. You know, why are we saying that? Well, it was in his FBI file, which, by the way, has been sealed by the United States government for many more years to come. Now, this was all common knowledge back then, but, of course, a lot of things that were common knowledge back in the 50s or 60s aren't so common in knowledge anymore. And, of course, some of the FBI agents that were tailing King have spoken out in interviews since retirement. So this is where we get this information from. But it was common knowledge and still is for anyone who wants to dig into the man that he was. But this is the modern-day Moses. This is the modern-day, really, Christ for both establishment Republicans and, of course, all blacks. And black conservatives, by the way, which is an oxymoron in most cases, but there are some. And I think it should be said that we all know good and decent black Americans who go out and work, and they do exist. But unfortunately, the vast majority fit into the stereotype. But this is hilarious here. Black conservatives, which I mean, these are the people that go to the tea bag rallies and go up to the podium. You know, they are denouncing and attacking Sarah Palin now, whom they loved just the other day. Now, why did they turn on Sarah Palin? Why did the black people that go to the Tea Party rallies turn on Palin? Because she had the nerve to say it shouldn't be a crime for white people to quote black people.
And, well, it may not be a crime, but it's stupid.
Well, here's the thing. Black Republicans tell John Avalon that Sarah Palin's tweet in defense – oh, by the way, John Avalon was a speechwriter for Rudy Giuliani, and he denounced us. He denounced the political cesspool in one of his most recent books. But black Republicans tell John Avalon that Sarah Palin's tweet in defense of Dr. Laura was ridiculous and indefensible. And basically, all Sarah Palin said is that Dr. Laura shouldn't be forced to resign for saying what she said on the radio. And the black Republicans are saying this in response, that Sarah Palin is, quote, no longer fit to lead, end quote. So, you know, Sarah Palin, another one of these Glenn Beck's types. She spends her career sucking up to, you know, Judeo-Christians, if I may use the term. You know what I mean by that term. She sucks up to these people. She sucks up to blacks. She sucks up to just about everybody except the people who vote, who support her. She says one comment that they feel is off the reservation. She said, Dr. Laura, she supports Dr. Laura. And instantly she's no longer fit to lead. Winston, this is, I mean, they're never going to get it. They're never going to get it.
No, they're not. As you were describing that scene, the situation where just a few days before, Sarah Palin was the darling of the Tea Party movement. Now she's a pariah because of one thing she said. It might be a bad comparison, but it's like the crowds in Jerusalem who one day were throwing palms before Jesus and saying Hosanna in the highest, and the next couple of days they were screaming Crucify Him. Crucify
that's
him,
it.
Crucify
Winston, we got to take a break. Perfect example. Perfect example.
We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you live from Memphis, Tennessee. Another riveting edition of the Political Cesspool radio program. We've really spent the entire program thus far tonight, Saturday, August 28th, discussing the topic of cafeteria Christianity, cafeteria conservatism, and even worse, so-called conservatives embracing the ideas of liberals and passing it off as the Republican MO and the people that support them. Winston, we got a couple of callers online. You want to go to the phones?
Oh, I love callers.
Well, let's open up the phone lines, a little rare thing we do here from time to time. Once in a blue moon, let's go first to Arkansas. Tim in Arkansas. Tim, we're talking about Republican suicide. What can you add to the discussion?
Well, there's no question about it. Glenn Beck is a Pied Piper. I mean, he's leading everybody right over a cliff. He's reminiscent of Howard Beale in Network. You know, he's not the most stable guy. He winds up crying every time he makes a pronouncement. He's going, oh, he's crying.
That's a great movie.
Well, he is. I really don't think he's very stable. And I also think that, he's doing everything he can to pander to blacks who, just like you say, are never going to support and never going to vote for him. And, necessarily, while we're at it, I don't think they fully understand it. To me, it's always white people to the rescue, if you'll ever notice. If you look at Katrina,
yeah.
If you look at there's a village in Africa where I don't know, like 75% of the population has AIDS, and they're all receiving medication from our country.
Hey, Tim, you bring up an excellent point here. And it's not just our country; it's all the white countries. You know, you couldn't count. It's an infinite number of organizations, white organizations, whether it's church groups or other philanthropic organizations, charities, Boy Scouts, whatever. I mean, across the board, just limitless numbers of white organizations every day, and their sole mission is to help the downtrodden, help the impoverished. Well, of course, only if the impoverished and downtrodden happen to be of another race. And there's nothing wrong with that, and we've talked about this before, but as the Greeks said, what was that famous saying? And I've quoted it before. Basically, I paraphrase, all things in moderation, nothing in excess. And what the Greeks were saying there, even a virtue when carried to an extreme can be detrimental. But this is the point. You know, the more and more whites grovel, and more whites help, the more and more they get attacked for being evil, vicious raiders, so on and so forth. But you're right. I mean, just an infinite number of organizations each day whose sole purpose that day is to help, aid-ridden, people in Africa, to help the victims of Katrina. What, when have we ever gotten any help from these people? When have we ever gotten any help from these people? And you don't have to receive help in order to go out and do a good thing, but why can't people help themselves as we have to help ourselves? That's the question. But still, I mean, none of that, no matter how many billions of dollars you sink into that hole, you're never going to absolve yourself in their minds for being, white devils or whatever they call us. But, Tim, you made a great point. I want to thank you for the call. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to move now to Mishko in Los Angeles. Mishko.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, just hanging in there. Another day, another battle.
Another day, another battle. I love what the gentleman said from Arkansas. I got to tell you this, though. We got to always look at the history of people. Like with Glenn Beck, I remember when he was on CNN and he was trashing Ron Paul and this and that in the day when the elections were happening. And then now that he's gone to Fox News, you know, he's a libertarian. This guy is a shill. This guy is a lying sack. He is, I would venture to just say that the guy is part of the Jewish machine that is manipulating the entire process, the entire future of this nation. Because everything that he's talking about, you know, Martin Luther King or Mike King, whatever the hell you want to call the guy, I mean, the guy was built, and blacks know it. They do know it. And to have him sit there and do a rally on that and have all these little, you know, you can't bring a sign that says this or that, we don't want the truth, and man, crying on TV. I mean, everything that he's done so far is completely within the Bolshevik diagram. You know, everything that he's done is a perfect example of how this country is being destroyed.
I can't agree with you more, and I'm going to let you conclude your point, but I couldn't agree with you more. I think the only question about Glenn Beck is whether or not he's just doing this as a paid agent, or if he really believes it, and that's why they put him on. The bottom line is he is certainly doing the bidding of the powers that be, and you know, all of the tactics that he employs basically follows their template for you know, major media personality to a T.
Well, James, it wasn't that long ago that you posted on the blog a video in which Glenn Beck basically admitted that he doesn't believe half the stuff he says.
He's a showman. The guy's a showman. He's a liar. Just like that Sarah Palin, as you were talking about before. I mean, the woman's got a pig. She's got a flag. You can Google this up. She's got a flag in her office with an Israeli flag. You know, I mean, this whole mosque thing, everything. I mean, this is all, it's all trying to redirect focus from the Jews. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, people call me, you know, I'm crazy, I'm this or that, whatever. That's not the case. The whole problem that we have in this nation is the Jews. Who pushes multiculturalism? Who pushes diversity? Who promotes blacks with clipboards and advertisements? The Jews do. So, anyways, great show tonight,
Mitch,
guys. I keep talking, but you're doing a great job, James. Love you, brother.
Hey, Mitch?
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Yeah, Winston, your point.
I wanted to ask Mitch how he really felt.
Well, you know, he's right. I mean, you know, I think that there is a problem, obviously, with the disproportionate amount of Jewish power and influence. And the only problem with Jewish power and influence is that, as Keith Alexander always points out, by and large, Jews are the most liberal sect of the American citizenry. They are the most liberal sect, and they have all of this great power, and they use it to advance liberal ideas. You know, if the Jews were paleoconservatives like us, you know, I wouldn't have nearly as much of a problem with them. It's not that they're Jews. It's the ideas that they espouse. But the bottom line is, a lot of the stuff that conservatives have a problem with have been brought on by this power and influence that they possess. And I think that that is just a matter of fact. I don't think it can be debated. It can be debated why that they how they attained this disproportionate amount of power, but it cannot be debated that they have it and that they wield it in ways that I think are subversive to the American experiment envisioned by our founding fathers. And certainly they have a heavy hand in the politics of both parties, which are really one party, as Pat Buchanan called it. It's two wings of the same vulture, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. You know, Sarah Palin with the Israeli flag in her office, and then, of course, you know, Barack Obama wearing a yarmulke and kissing the Wailing Wall, as they all do. I mean, there's just no doubt that that this exists and that they have accumulated you know, this you know, Thor's hammer, you know, I guess is what I'm looking for.
James, I agree with you on that. You know, you don't have to lecture me on that. I don't think you'll lecture many of our listeners on that. And there, Mitch may be making a perfectly valid point that that there is Zionist influence behind, well, I mean, it was Jews who basically brought the so-called civil rights movement upon us. And it's probably Jews propping up the myth of Michael King. After all, you know, James, there is no Judeo-Christian church in this country who would not allow Michael King, a.k.a. Martin Luther King Jr., to preach from their pulpit on any Sunday at all. And yet this was a man who denied the very fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. He denied the virgin birth. He denied the resurrection. He had many, many beliefs that ran diametrically counter to doctrines of Christian faith that have been held for literally centuries. And,
right.
and yet this is a guy that these Judeo-Christian churches are embracing and trying to associate themselves with just to curry favor with people who hate them.
And as Christians,
it's the most foolish thing I've ever seen.
And as Christians, this is why we have such such lamentations about this. This is why we lament these facts, is because, you know, like all of the other institutions of Western civilization, our church has now, by and large and greatly, you know, the big churches, there are still some churches, small churches, and I go to one, and Winston, I'm sure you've been to some too, that probably don't go for all of this. But, by and large, you know, certainly the mainstream church, the establishment church, the mega churches, without question, have succumbed to the Vandals and Visigoths of multiculturalism. I'm going to get back to the topic, though, about cafeteria conservatives. I'm going to talk to you about absolute Republican suicide when we come back.
We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know what I think I'm going to do? As I said a moment ago, we very rarely open up the phones to take calls. But I'd like to do that tonight, actually. During the third hour, which is coming up immediately following, of course, this segment, we'll go into our third hour. I'm going to open up the phone lines. We'll do a little open mic time during the third hour. So if you want to go ahead and get in the queue for that, the number here is 1-866-986-NEWS. Your chance to be a star. Come on the air and talk with me and Winston Smith. So do just that. 1-866-986-NEWS. We're going to open up the phone lines again at the top of the third hour. Now, for the last hour and 45 minutes, I have done all I can to make you thoroughly disgusted with establishment, conservatism, and the Republican Party in general. If I've not yet made you nauseous, I promise you I will right now. I'm going to share with you a blog entry that I posted. Actually, back in October of 2009 is when I originally wrote it. However, it was brought back to my attention this week, so I reposted it on the blog for all of the new readers who have been drawn to our website this summer as a result of the constant and endless media attention the political cesspool has been getting. And it's an article entitled Republican Suicide. Winston, have you read that one by chance?
No, I haven't, James. I've had an extremely busy work week, and frankly, there's only so much of you I can handle, you know?
Well, I know that. There's only so much of myself I can handle. Well, that actually makes me happy, Winston, because now you'll be hearing it along with the audience in case they haven't read it also. Republican suicide. The Republican Party has learned nothing from recent history and continues to do everything it can to repel its base of white voters in a futile attempt to attract non-whites to the party, of course. There is a new section, ladies and gentlemen, on GOP.com. That is the official website of the Republican Party. GOP.com. It features Republican heroes. It's a two-page photo gallery of Republican heroes, and they document 18 of the all-time greatest Republican heroes. I'm telling you guys, you've got to see this to believe it. Of the 18 Republican heroes featured at GOP.com, Winston, listen to this. Three of them are women from the 19th or early 20th century, such as the radical feminist Susan B. Anthony. All right. Of the 18 heroes, nine of them are black. men, seven of them as ancient as the women. But they certainly have had a huge impact on the GOP and America, according to the Republican Party website. Let's see. Again, this is all-time Republicans. Nine are black, three are women of the 18 that are featured. There's Pinckney Pinchback, the son of a slave who became the GOP governor of Reconstruction-era Louisiana in 1872. He's on there. There's Octavius Caddo, another son of slaves who became a civil rights activist in Pennsylvania until he was murdered in 1871 by a Democrat who didn't like his political activities. Then there's Joseph Rainey, a runaway slave. You think I'm making this up, or this is off of some like spinoff, like some page mocking the GOP? This is GOP.com, everybody. These are their list of heroes, 18 of them. Nine are black. There's Joseph Rainey, a runaway slave who became the first African-American congressman, of course, thanks to Reconstruction. And who could forget Jose Celso Barbosa, the black Hispanic who established the Republican Party of Puerto Rico in 1899. And whoa, Nelly, what about John Langston? He was the very first African-American public official in the U.S., being elected township clerk in Ohio. Then there's Hiram Revels, who was the first African-American senator, thanks to Reconstruction once again. Say, aren't the GOP's most reliable base white Southerners? You know, I wonder what they think of the party celebrating the Reconstruction period like this. Not to worry, because most of them will never know, and that's because Hannity, Beck, and Limbaugh will never make it a point to mention this hero page at GOP.com on any of their shows. Might not be good for business. They also feature, are you getting this, Winston?
I am.
All right, Republican heroes, all-time Republican heroes. I just went through a few of them. They also feature Frederick Douglass, no need to go into details on him. There's also one black woman, Mary Terrell, who's in there because she helped found the NAACP, which has done so much to advance the cause of conservative limited government over the years. Jackie Robinson, the baseball player, another famous Republican, even though he said that when the Republican Party leadership tilted towards Barry Goldwater, he began to have a, quote, better understanding of how it must have felt to be a Jew in Germany. He also wrote, I'm not a Republican, I'm an independent. I don't know if the Republicans ever saw this or not. He said that, how can I sell the Republican Party to black people? They're not buying. They know better. He campaigned for Hubert Humphrey, but he's a famous Republican, GOP hero. Again, of this 18, a list of 18 people featured as Republican heroes at GOP.com, only four white men made the list because, let's face it, it's really women and black people who built the party, but I guess they had to have some token whites in there. So there's Ronald Reagan, of course. And if you have to show some white guys, it's probably best to highlight those who have done so much for black people. So there's Everett Dirksen, a senator who helped create and pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964. There's Frank Johnson, a federal judge from the same era, who issued several rulings that helped destroy freedom in the name of equality. Eisenhower's in there for sending, not for what he did in World War II, being a famous general, but for sending federal troops to Arkansas to forcibly integrate the schools. And lastly, of course, there's Abraham Lincoln. Like I said, except for Reagan, those guys are in there simply for what they did for blacks. But I noticed the GOP doesn't quote them on how they felt about black people themselves. Eisenhower famously remarked that white Southerners weren't bad people. They just didn't want to send the sweet little girls. This is a quote, sweet little girls sitting next to overgrown blacks. Lincoln's views on race were even more well known. He didn't want blacks to vote, sit on juries, or be allowed to marry whites. In fact, he wanted them to be all removed back to Africa. And these guys are just two of the heroes that supposedly are there to help bring blacks running to the GOP. But it's never going to work. It's never going to work. Any black people who stumbles on this page will be outraged and disgusted by this blatant pandering, just as they are outraged and disgusted, as much as I am, about Glenn Beck. But this kind of thing is almost certainly going to repel white voters who vote the Republican Party, who are the Republican Party. The GOP seems hell-bent on committing suicide, and I say the sooner the better, and good riddance. But Winston, were you aware of this page? I know we got some callers already on the line. We're going to get to them at the top of the third hour. But were you aware of this GOP.com and the heroes that they feature? I mean, these are the heroes of the modern day Republican Party. If you go to their website and ask them,
I wasn't aware of that. But you know, the GOP isn't really trumpeting yet. If they
It seems like they should be trumpeting it if they believe that.
Look, go to GOP.com. It's there plain as day. All you got to do is click on Heroes. It's prominently featured. I mean, they're not trumpeting it maybe on the campaign trail, but it's very readily apparent on their official website.
Well, you pinned it just right, James. They're committing suicide. Who do they want in the party? They have to know that they are not going to attract white voters. They're going to enrage Southerners, as you said, who are the most reliable voting bloc of the GOP. I don't know who they are trying to attract. As you said, they're just going to enrage blacks, and I think that's the beauty of it. It's going to make blacks angry as hell, just like Glenn Beck is. If there's any one good thing about what Glenn Beck is doing, it's making black people mad as hell, and they get really funny when they get mad.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the irony of it all. The more they pander, the more incensed blacks become at their pandering. Because let's face it, it's juvenile, it's childish, it's pandering. I mean, it's what it is. Pandering is never a good thing. And so I guess that's the ironic thing about it all. But this thing, I mean, folks, if you weren't convinced that the GOP is not the party for white conservatives anymore, I can't help you. I can't help you. Now, granted, there may be some select races in which the Republican candidate somehow managed to get past their filtering process and get on the ballot because, you know, the Republicans kick, you know, conservative candidates out of their party. Derek Black comes to mind. But if you do manage to get past their filtering system and get on the ballot, you know, there could be some select races in which the Republican candidate might be better than the Democrat. But by and large, I mean, the National Republican Party is doing everything they can to repel their only base and pander to people that are never going to vote for them no matter what. Why would if I was black, I wouldn't vote Republican? No way. Why wouldn't I want welfare and government handouts and government jobs? And of course, the Republicans don't even pretend to oppose affirmative action anymore, but why wouldn't I want preferential treatment? Why would I vote Republican if I was black? I wouldn't. Never. And all this pandering is just going to make me hate you even more. And it's going to, you know, repel their base. But maybe that's what they're doing. It gets back to what Mishka was bringing up. Maybe this is their role. Maybe this is what their Zionist overlords are commanding them to do. But whatever the case, it ain't good for our people. And so with that being said, you know, support the organizations who are out there fighting. You know, folks, we're a listener-supported entity. Without your financial considerations, this show will not exist, cannot exist. We've been on the air for 6 years because of your charity. We need your help. We ask you to go to our website and consider making a donation to our program. That will help further our message. And we're going to continue fighting for you. And I'll tell you what, we're going to open up the phone lines in this third hour. It's right around the corner. Going to get some more of your thoughts from across the country and around the world. And I've got an assignment for you. I've got an assignment for our listening audience, and it's right up Winston's alley because he's got to run in with these people too. It's not give money, although we do need you to do that at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But listen, third hour is going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. It's coming right up.